E.J. Dionne is a political journalist and Washington Post columnist with an unusual perspective. Could the Trump administration, as he suggests, lead to a renewal of liberal democratic values and policies? The author of One Nation After Trump, A Guide for the Perplexed, the Disillusioned, the Desperate, and the Not Yet Deported, is speaking on that subject in Honolulu this evening. We spoke earlier this morning, and he addressed what he describes as the roots of Trumpism.
There has always been a far right in the Republican Party, and you can go back to McCarthyism. You can go back to the rise of the Birch Society in the 50s and 60s. Mm-hmm. I am struck by how many of the tropes that you see in places like Breitbart are really tropes that go back to the Birch Society, sort of certain conspiracy theories, certain attitudes toward globalism. Remember, the old term globaloney was invented way back in the 40s and 50s to mm-hmm. attack Truman and Acheson and all those folks. So that's one piece that goes back. A second piece that goes back a long way is obviously racial reaction. Mm-hmm. And back in the day, it was the right wing of the Democratic Party that represented segregation.
Dixiecrats.
The Dixiecrats. And starting with the Goldwater campaign in 1960, all of that opinion, those white Southerners moved into the Republican Party. Nixon had the Southern Strategy, which mm-hmm. was a subtle version of appeals around racial backlash. And mm-hmm. Trump has been much more explicit in many cases in very frightening and offensive ways, going back to the first day of his candidacy when he talked about Mexican immigrants as rapists. And it's gone on from there. So that's the second piece that's been there. But the third piece, I think, rests in the reaction in first in the Gingrich years and then in the Obama years. I think you began when Newt Gingrich was Speaker of the House with a strategy that didn't just disagree with Democrats, didn't just criticize Democrats, but really tried to say the Democratic Party is so profoundly corrupt that they have no right to govern. It was almost denying the legitimacy of the opposition. Mm-hmm. And then when Trump was a birther back in the Obama years, Republicans were very, the leadership of the party was very reluctant to criticize him. In our book, we note the moment when John Boehner was pressed on Meet the Press by David Gregory. And Boehner said, well, of course, I don't think Obama was born in Kenya, but he wouldn't condemn the birthers. He wouldn't condemn Trump. He said people have a right to believe what they want to believe. Well, you have a right to have deep beliefs. You don't have a right to believe things that are flatly untrue. And I think that opened the way for it. Even ironically, Mitt Romney, who emerged as a great and in some ways courageous critic of Trump, if you go back to the day Trump endorsed Romney for president, mm-hmm. He was gushing about Donald Trump. He really wanted that constituency. So Trump did not come from nowhere. There are within Republicanism and conservatism a lot of roots to Trumpism. He was just less subtle about it than some of his opponents.
E.J., you mentioned Goldwater and then later Nixon's Southern Strategy. And in the days of conservatism starting to really make its push to take over the Republican Party, there were a lot of code terms used. I'm thinking of law and order, for example. But there was a lot of signaling to about race and about, you know, the perception that you know, white privilege. That sort of got out in the open with Trump. The language got out in the open.
Right. Well, there's a popular saying now that the Republicans and conservatives used to use the politics of the dog whistle, i.e. words that one right. side would hear and the other wouldn't necessarily hear. Right. And they've gone from the dog whistle to the bullhorn. Mm-hmm. And I think it is one of the there are many aspects of Trump and Trumpism that are disturbing. But I think one of the most disturbing is how we have normalized a kind of racial discourse that we had decided for a very long time was unacceptable. And even people who were playing subtle racial politics right. felt a moral or political obligation to play it in a subtle way. And now you have overtly racist views and ideas out in the open in a very troubling way. I think that's why the Charlottesville demonstrations were so disturbing, and Trump's so-called even-handedness about that, where you had a demonstration where Nazis were involved on one side. I don't think there are two sides to Nazism.
Well, obviously somebody does, and the overt language of the last few years has taken hold in ways that have really surprised a lot of people.
Right. And, because we congratulated ourselves, and legitimately so, to some degree, in the fact that we Americans elected Barack Obama as president of the United States. And in truth, if you look around the world, there are not very many countries you can point to that elected a member of a racial minority to be their president, to be their leader. And particularly given the history of slavery and racism in the United States, it was all the more remarkable. So it's legit for us to say that's pretty cool that we did that as a nation. That didn't mean, however, that racism disappeared. And while I am not of the view that all of the opposition to Obama was racially motivated, ideology is a separate category. There are conservatives who are not at all racist who didn't like Barack Obama's policies. And I think it's important that liberals say that. On the other hand, as in the birther movement, as in some of the other things you saw out of that, as you often heard at the time in Rush Limbaugh broadcasts, there were explicitly racist themes that were being mobilized against Obama. So I don't think the Obama years sort of created Trumpism, as we said earlier. I think the roots go back deeper. But there was a tip-off that in some of the reaction to Obama that this persists. And again, in fairness to Americans, we're not the only country that is struggling with racism. And I think that's sort of one of the real challenges of this moment, is to the very idea of liberal democracy, that is with a small L and a small D, around the West, where you have a pushback against pluralism, against the idea that people of different races, backgrounds can live together in a democracy. You know, you're seeing a backlash in France, in Germany, in Britain, all over the West, in Hungary. And this is very disturbing. And we Americans are supposed to be the model for how you create a pluralist democracy. And at the moment, I think we are falling down on what is one of our central obligations to the whole world.
Is Trumpism likely to galvanize liberal democracy?
I think that our book is, in an odd way, optimistic in the sense that it's really quite remarkable the pushback you've seen in the country against Trumpism. That Trump's disapproval rating has been around 58 or 60%. Most of us are not Trumpists. Most people oppose Trump. If you look at all of these legislative races over the years, you recently had another one in Wisconsin where the Democrats took seats from the Republicans. 34 legislative seats have flipped Democratic. Only four have flipped toward the Republicans in that period. And you saw it in the elections this last year in Virginia, in New Jersey, and really wherever there was voting, there was a backlash against the Republicans that was really an anti-Trump backlash. The other side of this is on a lot of these issues, civil society, you know, the organizations of Americans that are not directly political, mobilized against the travel ban and have mobilized against some of the efforts that pushing back against women's rights. I mean, you're really seeing a broad pushback in the country. The test will be in this November's elections. And at the moment, you are, and it's a long, only after 2016, I think all pundits should turn in their prediction licenses for about 4 years. So I'm not going to predict what's going to happen in November. But if the election were held right now, on the basis of the numbers you're looking at right now, it would be a rout against the Republicans. And a lot of that, most of that, is a reaction to Trump.
E.J. Dionne is the co-author of One Nation After Trump, A Guide for the Perplexed, the Disillusioned, the Desperate, and the Not Yet Deported. He will be speaking at 6:30 this evening at the Artistry Honolulu on Cook Street in Kaka'ako on the subject, Will the Trump Administration Renew American Democracy? The event is free, open to the public, and moderated by our news director, Bill Dorman. You can learn more on the Conversations Facebook page.